Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome to another round of SDHAM here on the Off the Woodwork podcast section of 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. John Nelson here with you to kind of take you through Soccer Down Here's morning show. The SDH Network, 9:05 Eastern Time on SDH's YouTube channel, on X, and on Twitch. We go through all of the news and all of the stories that carry you through and carry you into the beautiful game every single Monday through Friday here on the SDH Network. And what we like to do is we like to bring in a lot of guests from around the planet and kind of examine what's going on across the world of soccer every single Monday through Friday on SDHAM on the SDH Network. So this week, Atlanta United is on the road, and they are heading to Harrison, New Jersey to take on New York Red Bulls. And so we caught up with a couple of folks who are either intimately knowledgeable about Red Bulls or, because of their knowledge of Major League Soccer, get to sit inside the arena and let you know what's going on come broadcast time on Apple TV. So first guest we're going to let you hear from this week is part of the broadcast crew that is going to be there for Apple TV and for Major League Soccer. Kendra D. St. Aubin was multitasking when she caught up with us on SDHAM, as she was getting ready to both juggle her duties as a full-time mom and her duties as a color commentator and an analyst for Apple TV and for Major League Soccer. Here's our conversation with Kendra D. St. Aubin as she was getting ready to be a mom and getting ready for Atlanta United and New York Red Bull. Coming back in to return to the Hour of Chaos for the first time in far too long. We start hour number two with Kendra D. St. Aubin, and we welcome Kendra back into chaos. Good morning. Welcome back to the morning show.
Good morning. I appreciate that I'm joining the Hour of Chaos because, you know, when I'm home for like 24 hours and I go straight back into mom mode and you're trying to like prep for the next game and enjoy the beautiful day and do the school drop off and everything else. So I appreciate you having me on for the Hour of Chaos. It makes perfect sense.
So how chaotic is it for you, mom, announcer, getting ready for road trip, right now?
Well, I will say this, like, I love my job more than anything. I'm incredibly blessed to be able to do what I get to do, but I still will always say that the number one job is being a mom, because there is nothing more enjoyable, but I'm lucky that it allows me to do both things. But I tell you what, when I get to also get to prep for another team, Red Bulls, I haven't done this year. So whenever we get thrown like a new team, not that you're not following the league, not that you're not paying attention to what teams are doing on a weekly, daily basis, but to really try to deep dive into another team where I've had the honor of having Atlanta already a couple times this year, it makes a difference. So you want to do both teams justice. You're trying to make sure that you've got all your boxes checked, you know, your I's dotted, your T's crossed, and you're trying to deep dive into everything and just make sure that you've got it all straight. And so it's a blessing and a curse at the same time to be able to get to do what we do and travel all over the place and get to see new teams.
All right, so what has study hall been like getting ready for Atlanta United and Red Bull, specifically from the Atlanta United standpoint and the chaos that has happened with Atlanta United over the last handful of matches?
Yeah, I mean, and I honestly, like, when I think about this Atlanta United team in particular, the expectations are incredibly high. And I know I'm not, you know, making some genius point right there that everybody in Atlanta especially doesn't already know and think about when it comes to this team and the money that was spent and bringing Ronnie Dyla in. And everybody's just been waiting for this team to really click. You've got such an incredible striker in Latte Lott. You've got to try to figure out how to use El Marone and Moranchuk at the same time in the center of midfield, if that's even a thing. Can you get Loeb Denice on there at the same time as El Marone if they're going to both play on the right side? Do you put, you know, Saba on the left? Like, all these things that Ronnie Dyla, and we've talked to him so many times, and you've probably heard him in the media say, this might be one of the most difficult situations that he's been in. And you think about the places he's coached and the clubs he's coached, and not because of lack of talent, but just trying to get everybody on the same page in the best system at the right time and everybody understanding their roles and buying into what he's doing. And sometimes it's hard to get a team to buy in when you're not getting the results and you're not getting the goals more specifically, because I don't think people thought this team was going to struggle to score. So, yes, they have two fantastic results in which, in my opinion, they won in two very different ways. But the fact that they showed that resiliency, the fact that they played against a tough top Eastern Conference Cincinnati side and came away. Then you've got Orlando City, who Oscar Pereja is like a well-oiled machine, just kind of flies under the radar in the Eastern Conference every year and gets the job done. And Atlanta United pulls off a win in that one as well. Sort of a never say die attitude, which I think is what Atlanta United fans love and want to feel good about. So I think this Atlanta United team, if they can string together some more of these positive results, good results, winning in different ways, it's going to get this team on the right track, maybe just in time, because May was crazy. June doesn't slow down a whole lot, but you've got international breaks in there, guys going away on international duty, and then you've got League's Cup just around the corner. So maybe this is the right time for this United team to get on the right side of things. So hopefully two wins is...
I have an update, a travel update from one of our other A-listers who is known with the initials Tyler Terrence. And he said, I just got to the airport. I'm in my own chaos.
That sounds about right. But he kind of creates his own. So that's different.
Oh, we're going to have to talk to him about that. A couple of other topics where Atlanta United's concerned, I wanted to discuss really quickly. The younger players that are making their mark, that have come through the academy, specifically Matthew Edwards and Jay Fortune, in all of your analysis and seeing them earlier in the year and seeing how things have evolved, what have you thought about the younger players that have made their mark for Ronnie Dyla this season for Atlanta United?
Well, I think anytime you give a younger player an opportunity that is earned, and, you know, I've learned that a while ago from, I think it was Wilfred Nancy who said that first, is that you have to earn the opportunities. Just because you came through the academy and you're a good player, if you're going to bump. Oh, did I lose you?
No, you're good.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're here. I'm here.
On my thing, it says... Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because it says reconnecting on my thing here, so I just want to make sure I wasn't, like, talking and not you weren't hearing me. But that happens a lot. I feel like that with my daughter all the time. But when you think about the young players earning their opportunity and Ronnie Dyla giving them the opportunity and then them just taking hold of it and running with it, I think every time I've seen Jay Fortune play in particular, he has this confidence on the ball that you would not know he's a young player. And that's what I love about these academy kids, these homegrown kids, these kids that have been in these systems. And you think about where they started at 12, 13, 14, 15, compared to years past, where they've already been in sort of these professional environments as far as the training scenarios and what they've had to kind of endure with pressure. So then when they get these first team opportunities, they don't look uncomfortable in any way, shape, or form. Yes, they're going to make mistakes, but we've seen veteran center backs make mistakes. Like, you see it happen. Mistakes happen. But I think it's more about how they recover from that mistake, how they make the next opportunity count, how the next pass, the next movement, the ball, all those types of things. And Atlanta has been good at bringing up guys, even though they have this money and these big name guys that they bring in, incorporating those young guys. And so I've been super impressed with what they've been able to do in those different positions under pressure. And I kudos in the environments and the opportunities that they've been given. And that's only going to bode well going forward for the club and for them as a player, wherever they end up.
The other player specifically I wanted to get your thoughts on is Alexei Miranchuk and what we have seen from him as a maestro. The running gag is that he's dropped enough dimes to give you a dollar the last couple of matches each time out. You see his artistry. You see how his brain is starting to work in three dimensions. He's been given space on the right-hand side, Saba creating problems, and positional gravity. So we're getting to see, I think, what a lot of folks were anticipating with Miranchuk now in the last handful of matches.
Yeah, and I don't want to say I felt bad for him, but I felt a little, I could feel for him in the sense that once Almiron came back in the picture, and just him trying to find where he, with Almiron, with all the fanfare, and all the, return to Atlanta United, and what he did for the club the first time around. I just felt like there was this weird sort of pressure in him having to try to fit around Almiron rather than them just trying to find a way to fit together. And that doesn't mean that they both have to play as dual tens. They can't occupy the same space. I think we've all learned that. There's sometimes early on we're making runs into the same space because they both want to sort of be on the ball and creative, yet they're very different. So I think for Miranchuk has had an incredible run at the beginning of the season of trying to navigate where he fits, how he fits, how he can best play for this team. Should he be driving forward? Should he be in around the box? Should he be staying home a little bit more centrally and allowing Latte Lott and Almiron and others to kind of do their thing up top? So I think, credit to him, because every interview I've also heard of his, he seems to just be even keeled. He's taking some of the pressure. He's taking some of the responsibility. And even post-game the other night, he said, you guys are all asking me, oh, is this team on the right track now? Or we have, this team, it really looks like the relationship, the identity. And he's like, kind of like, whoa, it's only two wins. So yes, I don't want to get too caught up in the fact that we've won two games because we've not been good enough up to this point. So let's see what we can do going forward. So he seems like a very even-keeled, head-on-his-shoulders kind of guy. And I think he's getting more and more confident and comfortable on the ball in where he wants to play and how they need him to play to drive this team forward. So credit to him. And he is a really fun player to watch. I mean, and each one of those guys is so different in how they play and even their personalities that I think it's just taken a little bit of time. And fans don't like time. They want immediacy. We all understand that.
Yep. And when he wears a Bone Thugs and Harmony t-shirt for post-match interviews, he gets bonus points from a lot of us for doing that kind of stuff as well.
100%. I mean, it's almost the first of the month. We're almost there.
Yes, absolutely true. The same thing popping by for this. Juggling a bunch of different things. The mommy duty and all that stuff here. The Hour of Chaos. I want to talk about the back line five that we've seen Atlanta United. You end up with a back line of five is a bit of a formation change for Ronnie. He's used to the 4-2-3-1 with the two sixes and everything that's attached there. But going to this back line of five where you have either Pedro Amador, Ronald Hernandez, and then you have Luis Abram, Derek Williams. Derek Williams has turned into a solid figure. First time ever, he had a goal and an assist last time out. Then you had Matt Edwards, who we got into the discussion, and Saba. The back line of five seems to have at least been one of the triggers for this part of success, because last time I checked, if you ain't scoring, then you know, at least you're going to do is come out of there with a point. When you look at this back five that Ronnie has come up with, what have been your takeaways in the short term with this new formation at the back anyway?
Well, when I looked at that, I actually felt like that he may have found the solution, right? Because that allows you to put all the players that you want to put on the field at the same time. And I know he kind of had Saba, I believe it was sort of almost as a wing back, if I'm remembering, on the right-hand side to start the game against Orlando. And for me, that allows all your players. Here he's been trying to find the solution. And yes, you were, you know, you're at home, so you're thinking, how are we going with a back five with these attacking players at home? We should be on the front foot, because anytime people hear a back five, they sort of think defensive-minded. But I think without Brooks Lennon in there, and I think for Ronnie Dyla, it was really about, how do I get all these guys on the field? We cannot have Saba coming off the bench. We have to have him in the starting 11 because he brings such a spark. So I think sliding Edwards inside a little bit more, giving him a little bit more defensive cover, having Williams alongside of him, Saba on the right, being able to bust down the line and create opportunities. Moranchuk sitting a little bit centrally. Schlesch will stay home as more of your holding midfielder. I just think that he finally found maybe a right combination for them to be the best attacking and not give up too many goals defensively, not have too many gaps defensively where you have some cover in the center of the back line. That's the goal. That's the hope, right? But I liked it. I liked the way it looked. I liked the way they came out. I liked getting all the guys on the field that he wanted to get on the field. So I think it was a good opportunity, and Almirón maybe pushing a little bit higher, and so they're not getting in each other's way. I mean, I thought it was a good solution, at least for the time being. We'll see how it looks in the third game in a row, or at least against the Red Bulls on the road.
Okay, so we have someone who is identifying themselves as CVG's finest in the green room, and I'm going to bring this individual into the discussion here. TT. Tyler Terrence made it.
Oh Lord!
I just wanted to.
He just couldn't handle me. He just couldn't handle me taking the opportunity here to rain on his chaos parade.
You know something, Kendra? John texted me and encouraged me to come on. So I'm not intentionally trying to blow up your spot here, okay? Because you and I spend way too much time together as it is. But I had to pop on here and say what's up.
That's true. That's true.
John's one of my favorites, He was slandering CVG, which I just simply will not have. Got through security in less than 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I couldn't resist. When you sit there, literally, here's what Tyler texts me. He goes, just got to airport in my own chaos. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe he's going to dial in and he's going to be like at the back of the security checkout line, and he's going to turn the camera around. It's just going to be like a wall of people, and he's going to have to call the game from Sbarro at CBG or something. I didn't know what was going
on.
Did the Knicks win last night? I didn't see.
Yes, you did. Don't do that. You saw it. Don't do that. Don't do that.
I mean, you know, I don't have a leg to stand on with the win out, so I can't do too much trash talking around here.
No, you cannot, especially since we turned around to check the score of the game at halftime in the middle of the Columbus National game on Wednesday, and the T-Wolves had scored 36 points in the middle of the third quarter, and Kendra just looks at me with her jaw on the floor. But hey, listen, you know, only the good teams are still playing at this point in the year, so don't worry about it. It's fine.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
NBA snack on a soccer morning show. I like that.
Are we here to talk about soccer? I didn't even know.
Not really. No. When do we ever talk? Like I said, it's a freaking morning show. I mean, whatever it is.
Family show.
Yes. Family show. Absolutely true. Because Kendra is juggling both mom duties and talking to me this morning. So yeah, she's.
I'm gonna butt out. This is her time. I just wanted to say hi and I love you, John. I'll see you soon, Kendra, and have a great show.
There we go. So there goes CBG's finest. There goes Tyler. So yeah. So TT decided.
Well, I noticed when you said he was reaching out, you had to make sure to say you were going to use his initials. But then he gets TT'd, for Taylor Twellman a lot, so we got to make sure to say Tyler Terrence, because you know, what are the odds we have, you know, two TTs in the soccer world on Apple MLS? So we got to make sure we clarify there. But yes, I thoroughly enjoy working with Tyler. It's been a great run the last, I guess we just started last year together, so we always have a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. So Red Bulls, what has study hall been like getting to them?
Well, man, I mean, you look at the results, right? And it's similar to a lot of MLS teams where you're trying to make it out. You're trying to make sense of it all. The ups and the downs, the smackdowns that they put on some teams, the struggles that they've had against others, also another new coach. But so fun to watch. And I am excited for this game because I think the Red Bulls are going to be fired up. I think Atlanta's on a little bit of a run here if they can keep it going. So for me, when you look at this Red Bulls team, more guys just stepping up. I mean, look at the game they just had. They rotated the squad a bit. Everybody's May has been crazy. I just think this isn't the same Red Bulls team that everybody is used to. They have more possession than we're used to. They want the ball a little bit more. They're still the high-pressing, kind of high-octane velocity, energetic type. But yet, at the same time, a little bit more composed on the ball, a little bit more possession, a little bit working their way through the opposition and maybe conserving their energy, a little more rest on the ball. Not so much just pure transition, direct play. So I think this is going to be a great game. I'm excited to see the Red Bulls in person. And, yeah, it's another, like, game three of a three-game week. So you never know exactly how each team is going to look and how they're going to fare.
Okay, so broadcasting question before you leave. When you're in the chaos of a three-match week, how do you prepare? Do you do it electronically? Do you still do paper and legal pad? How do you prep when you have a chaos week like this for those that are wanting to be like you when they, you know, get into the business? How do you prepare in a chaotic week like this?
So I don't change the way I prep in any way, shape, or form. I still do – everything is handwritten for me. I have to handwrite everything, otherwise it will not go into this brain, which already doesn't have a huge capacity. Like, here's my Atlanta United board. So everything is handwritten on every single player, and I have a notebook that every call we've ever done, I go back and I rewrite every word verbatim for every player and every coach that we've ever done. Because if I'm going to quote them on a broadcast, I want to make sure to get it right, first of all. And second of all, it just has to go into my brain that way. So, yes, it is a crazy week. I'm fortunate that I've already done Atlanta a couple times. But even if every team was new, like when I've done World Cups and you're doing new countries and new teams and new players, I have to do everything handwritten. Yes, obviously, the game notes are online. The interviews are online, which is so helpful. We have all this footage that we can access. I can be sitting and watching a game on Apple. I can rethrow the replay of the match up on my screen while I'm doing my work. It's everything is handwritten for me. I just cannot bring myself to do it any other way. I've got a bucket full of Sharpies. It's everybody's got to find their own way of doing it, but that's my way of doing it, and it's the same. It's kind of like, who said it the other day to us? It was BJ Callahan. He said to us before we did Nashville, he said, it's a short week. We prep the same way for every team. We use the same amount of detail, and we have the same discipline for every team we play, but we disseminate the information to the players differently. It's less on the field work. It's more in the film room work. So I kind of view myself the same way. I prep the same way. It just may be the way we have to go about it may be slightly different, but I prep the same way I would if I had a week to prepare for a team as if I had 2 days to prepare for a team is kind of how
so
I view it.
So when's your flight out?
Tonight, 7:55 p.m. Central Time. So it especially on these flights or these trips, try to get in the night before for sure. Gives me the full day of match day, kind of get organized. And a couple years ago in 2023, I brought my daughter to New York City with me for a game and another mom and her friend. And so then we flew in a little bit earlier, but we like did everything you can do in New York City in 30 hours. And I said to her the other day, I said, hey, do you want to come back with me? I've got a game in New York, in New Jersey for Red Bulls. And she's like, I don't know. We kind of saw everything. And I'm like, well, she's not wrong. But I'm just very blessed to be able to go to these cool cities. Of course, Atlanta being one of them, been there many, many times, and kind of scope out the landscape and take a walk or go for a run or be outside. But yeah, flight tonight at 7:55.
Well, safe travels. May you get through everything at MSP in one piece. May you get into Newark without any kind of a delay and have a fantastic call with our buddy Tyler Terrans coming up this weekend. Be safe. And since you now have the garage door opener, you know you can crash anytime.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Always great to have Kendra D. St. Alban and, yes, Tyler Terrans, one of our plus ones, who was dropping by in that particular situation as he had made it through airport and security as they both eventually were working their way in to New Jersey to get ready for Atlanta United and for New York Red Bulls. And one of the individuals in the tri-state who is incredibly knowledgeable about Red Bulls and about what has been going on in Major League Soccer is Mark Fishkin. Mark Fishkin is the guy who is in charge of the Seeing Red New York, Seeing Red NY Empire, on all of the social media that is involving Seeing Red, and has been, I think, 16 years attached to the growth of what has been going on with New York Red Bulls. And so as a part of our opposition research that we have on SDHAM, we like to catch up with folks who are going to be going up against Atlanta United and what their thoughts are about the particular season for the club they cover and the matchup. So here's our conversation with Mark Fishkin on SDHAM about New York Red Bulls, about schedule compression, and about what he thinks about the matchup coming up on Saturday night. Mark Fishkin, Seeing Red. across all of the social medias and the blue sky. As always, my friend, great to see you. Thank you for batting leadoff, as always, coming out of a match day and getting ready for yet another match day.
You know, New York's about to play its ninth match in 28 days. So it's just play, recover, prepare, and play. And it's been like that in Seeing Red as well. So it's, I'm looking forward to the international break, I think, as much as anyone.
Play, recover,
prepare, right,
okay.
Play.
So that'll be our mantra going forward until further. Okay.
There you go.
Last night, it was a 4-2 win over Charlotte. Bogacz, Sofo, and Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting twice from the spot. Now that you've had the sum total of, 11 and a half hours to digest, what sticks in your head from last night as you get ready for the weekend?
Well, this was a really rotated squad from Sandra Schwartz, and there were seven players on the field for New York that are 23 years old and younger. And that is, has been the mission of the New York Red Bulls for a number of years, but to see it in such stark rotated glory, there were a lot of fans that were like, wait, Charlotte may be the tougher opponent this week. Do we really want to do this rotation? I mean, this team has played two Open Cup matches. One of them went 120 minutes in penalty kicks. They started the month off by getting trucked at Miami, which I guess happens. But they've won five of their last seven. And the fact that Emil Forsberg did not have to play yesterday, I think bodes really well for the weekend. I mean, Choupo with a penalty kick brace in 27 minutes of play, I'll take it. Charlotte's defense is garbage, and New York made him pay. So all in all, despite the fact that the traffic was ridiculously poor and it was 60 degrees and raining, it was a phenomenal night at Red Bull Arena. Oh, Sports Illustrated Stadium. There's a quarter in the jar.
Well, look, they ain't paying me and I don't subscribe anymore. So to me, it's Harrison, New Jersey or anything else.
I don't know if you can subscribe to Sports Illustrated anymore. I don't know if it's a thing. I guess you
don't
can.
They do like the once a monther instead of like the
in yeah. print in this I economy.
I know.
Come on.
It's because I think the boss here still may do the monthly SI. And I'm like, this is bleh. Why are we doing this? And so I'm trying to steer us away from that particular.
As long as the check cashes, that's all Red Bull fans care about.
So the starting lineup last night, Cornell in net, Edwards, Isla, Sean Nealis, and Duncan. You had Stroud, Edelman, Sofo, Wiki Carmona, Ginjar, and Bogacz. I do have a Friday question leading into the Saturday question because of all the matchups that are blending together with Atlanta United and Red Bulls too at some point. But handling the defense of Charlotte, which sometimes I believe might be defense optional, as you when you looked at this rotated squad, how long did it take for them to kind of hit full song and sit there and realize what you have realized about Charlotte defensively at the back?
Well, first of all, Victor Bogacz, who for your viewers is a 20-year-old Polish signing, the all-time New York broke the record for Polish second division by signing Bogacz to a large contract. They actually had wanted him the year before, and Bogacz, as a 19-year-old, said yes and then no. And New York came back and said, no, please, you have to come. And last night was his first MLS goal, his first goal for the club, a fantastic finish from the outside of his left foot, running in full speed. And for a moment, a brief shining moment, it appeared that all of the best laid scouting plans had paid off, which is wonderful. And then Mohamed Sofo, about 20 minutes later, Sofo has four goals in nine appearances for New York this year. The Ghanaian is tearing it up. I mean, frankly, he's in the 99th percentile in non-penalty goals in the league, with 0.65 goals per 90 minutes played. That's pretty good. And, you know, when he was elevated from the two team earlier this year, and I think a number of eyebrows kind of went up like, oh, okay. But he's definitely proven it. And then you can't say enough about Choupo-Moting. There was a stat that MLS released. He's up to 9 goals. Now, a lot of them have come from the spot. Fair enough. But his 9 goals after 16 games is the most goals this early in the season going back to 2012. When Kenny Cooper was a member of the New York Red Bulls, even BWP never scored so early in the season. He really took his time hitting his stride. So, I mean, it was a night where just about everything went right. Charlotte hit back on a couple of really quality counterattacks that, you know, kind of an aged Raheem Edwards has struggled at times. But I don't know if you see him Saturday against Atlanta.
I was going to ask about Choupo-Moting, and I guess it took a while, and I put that in quotation marks, and that's a dollar for me in the jar by doing air quotes on the show. It seemed to take a while for him to get adjusted to what Sandro Schwartz wanted him to do for Red Bulls. How long did it take, do you think, before he got to what the demands are and what is expected of him, or is it still that work in progress on a bell curve?
Well, New York's forwards have been lacking since Bradley retired, to be fair, or since he was ignominiously sent away rather than retired, because he did spend time at Columbus and LAFC before he retired. But it has been a comedy of errors at the 9 for New York through Ashley Fletcher and Fabio and Patrick Lamala and in many ways Dante Van Zier, who never really hit his stride while he was here. And so the things that Choupo does, whether or not he's scoring, he's holding the ball up with his back to goal. He's working off of Forsberg, and he's a massive I mean, he's physically large. He's 6'3", 200 pounds, and so he's a hold up attacker. What he doesn't have at the age of 36 is legs, and so his ability to get the ball on the run, break down a defender, and score is, to be fair, lacking and doesn't really exist anymore. So the times that he has scored, it's been through a sequence of quick passes up the gut that unlocks the defense. Forsberg usually taking part in some part of that, and Choupo with the finish. And he's done that a number of times. Again, he's hit from the spot a number of times. I think even in the early moments of his Red Bulls career, when he wasn't scoring, fans were like, okay, they could see it. In the game at Mercedes-Benz, that I vividly remember, one opportunity for Choupo, had the ball, was giving it down the right side, had one defender to beat. And I mean, that was a wonderful defensive performance by New York, but he, you know, with a half a step, could have gotten by the Atlanta defense, and simply he doesn't have it. But that said, 9 goals in half a season, I mean, that's just fine. Thank you.
It reminds me almost of like the late career Kareem or Karl Malone, where you're a post-up player, you get it in the low block, you take your two steps, you hit your sky hook, and it still counts, right? I mean, So when you have that as a reference point, I guess right now, where the East is the street fight that we anticipated it was going to be. We do have a bit of a separation from last night with, you know, Philly's result now getting a double digit wins, and it is 4 points separating 3 through 8, and two of them are there right there in your footprint. When you look at Red Bulls, what are you the most confident about right now at this point of the season in the middle of this street fight in the Eastern Conference? And what concerns you the most about Red Bulls right now in the street fight in the Eastern Conference?
Sure. Well, New York has played all but one match without Lewis Morgan, who has been dealing with a knee injury, not the hip injury that sidelined him for all of 2023, but a knee injury that he picked up in the first match of the season. He's ready to come back. Now, whether or not he plays Saturday or coach says, you know what, we've got a 2-week international break. Everyone's exhausted. This is not the game to play him. We're just going to just get through this next bit and this next match and then have him healthy for the second half. That's the thing that has me most optimistic. The fact that they were able to win last night against, a kind of an also ran in the East without Forsberg was a big deal. The fact that he was able to rest is a big deal. Also, Marcelo Morales, early season signing from the Chilean youth national team, full national team, starting to break in there, who's a left back who has yet to play because he came in injured. He is nearing full fitness. And so, I mean, there have been matches, John, that New York has had 9 and 10 players on the unable to perform list for suspension or injury or international break or whatever. And for the second half of the season, for New York to have a full, complement of healthy players could be a difference maker. Look, you know, as you said, it's a total dog pile. The team that's going to be able to put 4 or 5 positive results together at the end of the season is going to wind up in a preferred playoff spot or a playoff spot. So the fact that the Red Bulls, even through this marathon of matches, again, 9 matches in the month of May, you got them, and have won 5 of the last 7, really, really spectacular.
When it comes to Harrison, New Jersey, as an arena, because like I said, they ain't, neither of them sponsors is paying us. So we're gonna hydrate as we see fit, and we're gonna talk about the arena as we see fit. Why sure. is it such a fortress? I mean, and this is a traditional thing. I mean, right now this season, Red Bull 6-1-1. Why is it such a difficult place to play, other than stylistically for what we see from Red Bulls?
Yeah, keep in mind, New York has the most points at home since the stadium opened in 2010 in the entire league. I think they go back, them and Red Bulls in Seattle kind of do this depending on who's playing well. Obviously, Atlanta was not in the league during that time, but that's okay. It's a fun stat that you can use.
Run with it, brother.
But in the case of New York, whether it's the roof keeping the sound in, whether it's the closeness of the fans that attend, whether it's just the comfort level of the players, whether they work their press and their counter press to good effect, whether it's the noise coming from the South Ward, I mean, it has been a saving grace because the team's road form has been markedly poor this season. They have only 1 road win, and that just came earlier this month against DC United. That was last week. But they've been in most games on the road. I think that the loss to Miami was their first 3-goal loss in a year. I mean, like they usually play it pretty tight, which of course is maddening for their fans. But yeah, I think it's just the comfort zone. I think they feel a whole lot better playing at home, knowing that they are so strong there. It's been nice to see. And I will tell you, the Red Bulls are running a really interesting promotion right now that will have an effect, hopefully, of boosting the crowd on Saturday. They have said, because they're so strong at home, if you don't have a Miami ticket for Messi's visit in July, if you buy a 5-game pack and the Red Bulls go unbeaten in those 5, you get a free ticket to the Miami game. Now, where they're pulling from, I have no idea. Through the players' wives won't be able to attend, wives and girlfriends. They are kids mostly. But so far, they are 3-0 in those 3 games. So that you want to put that on the bulletin board for Atlanta to make more people unhappy here.
Well, when it comes to an anticipated in your brain starting 11 on the weekend, give me somebody other than the big names that everybody gravitates toward for Red Bulls. Yeah, like one of those B-plus guys, the ones that are below the radar guys, and your anticipated starting 11. If things are going well for Red Bulls, this under-the-radar person is key to that success.
Yeah, you know who it is? It's Omar Valencia, who leads the team in assists with 5. Valencia is a 20-year-old Panamanian who has broken in at the national team level. He's only played 12 times, but he has been a massive surprise for New York in terms of getting on. He's I'm not saying he's making people forget about John Tolkien, but he has speed. He gets up and down the field. He's able to make that incisive pass into the box that unlocks an opportunity. And should he go Saturday, and I think he will with Raheem Edwards getting the start last night, 11 hours ago, as you said earlier, the 14 hours ago. I think he is a player that can absolutely make a difference. He played the first half in Atlanta, if memory serves, picked up a yellow card, and Raheem Edwards came on and spelled him for fear of him getting a second yellow. That's happened a number of times this year. And again, I think New York is waiting for Marcelo Morales to come on and really take and earn that spot and take it away from Valencia. But it hasn't come easy. And the idea that Emil Forsberg is trailing him in assists halfway through the season is shocking. So he is definitely the one to watch.
As I promised, another handful of seconds here with our buddy Mark Fishkin from Seeing Red Empire.
Yeah.
That is
Fiefdom. I don't know.
5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon at Montclair. It's a battle of the twos. And so it's on the network. Jason will have the call on this one for us. Atlanta United 2 and Red Bulls 2.
Nice.
We are the home of Atlanta United 2. And
you are.
From the grouping of folks that you had playing last night, and now you get to go up against Red Bulls 2, another traditionally tough place to play at Montclair. It is a place where Red Bulls 2 have put up a lot of goals against a lot of opponents at Montclair in the past. And it's going to be an interesting one where Red Bulls 2, from the folks that were playing in the midweek, or at least available in the midweek, who will be available again in Harrison on Saturday. It gives a bit of a preview for folks, the hardcores. They get to see what the benches may look like, and possibly somebody gets a key contribution and a cup of coffee on Saturday. So I'm looking forward to these, and I wish MLS Next Pro would do this more, where you would have the second team match the day before as kind of like a precursor to the first team match.
Absolute Looney Tunes coming up for the weekend to get to see two matches for the price of one. So Morales has been played it with the two team last week, and I, from what I understand, did very well. I think the two team is something like 5 national team players, youth national team players. When I think about the two team, I think about Tanner Rossborough, a striker who played on the U15 team a few years ago that won the MLS Next National hoo-ha. Think of Audrey Mamedi, another young teenager who is definitely the heir to Tyler Adams in the New York defensive midfield. I think about Ibrahim Kasule from Uganda, that connection with Ibrahim Sagaya, who has lit it up of late. Matthew Dos Santos, American Academy kid who's he also got a nab for the US U17 team, and he's had a couple of tremendous free kick goals for the two team. So yeah, I mean, come on out to Montclair, where every night is sit where you like night. I mean, they certainly haven't made it a spectator destination, but I think the strength of the two team has been no doubt a big reason why the Red Bulls are successful. Daniel Edelman last night for New York in the midfield had his 100th appearance in all competitions for the first team.
6-2-2-1, the Red Bulls 2 group, 3-0-1 at Montclair as they get ready for it is Red Bulls Atlanta weekend, basically. Hey, man,
hit
the promo for me for everything Seeing Red so folks can find out what's going on.
Yeah, on just about any platform that you have, you can find Seeing Red at Seeing Red NY. This is our 16th season of covering the Red Bulls, and we're on the Facebook and the YouTube at Seeing Red NY. So please come and subscribe. And John, it's always great to talk and enjoy the weekend of Five Stripes versus former Metro Stripes. I will remind your listeners that the first game at Bobby Dodd, I was there in my Metro Stars glory, listening to you all with not knowing chance going ATL, ATL, and the Red Bull supporters who were there replied with one song, you've only got one song, to which the Atlanta supporters replied with ATL, ATL, and we're like, that's the song. That's your one song.
The library has increased since then, my friend.
For sure. An amazing night. And I won't forget.
Yes. Red Bulls 2-1. As always, my friend, since you have the garage door opener, you know you can come in the house at any time. And it's always great to see you. And we'll catch up with you soon. Jason will be up there. And I know that the two of you will catch up and break bread Saturday in Harrison, New Jersey, as the first teams take it on. Good to see you, my friend.
Awesome.
All right, there goes Lord Fishkin from Seeing Red. The Seeing Red fiefdom and empire, as he calls it. And so it's always fun to catch up with Mark, who has not just his finger, but his entire hand on the pulse of everything going on up there, especially with Red Bulls. That was our opposition research as we get you ready for Atlanta United and Red Bulls. No time to waste, as Mark said.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're listening to the best of SDHAM here on the Off the Woodwork section of the podcast at 92.9 The Game of the Odyssey app. John Nelson here with you, and we're taking you through just some of the highlights of the week on SDHAM. You can find it on the SDH Network on YouTube. You can find it on X Live Monday through Friday. It's starting at 9:05 Eastern Time, and you can also find it on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/soccerdownhere. And our third guest, we like to kind of go into the current events that are going on inside Major League Soccer. And one of the big events that was going on in MLS this past week was the dismissal after only 15 matches of Olaf Melberg, the head coach at St. Louis City SC. And so what we decided to do was dial up some experts in the St. Louis area. And so we caught up with our friends at Ball Watching, a St. Louis City SC podcast. And it's always good to catch up with our friends up there and find out what is going on, whether it's Jake Koenig, Justin Graham, or both of them. And so here's the conversation that we had with Jake and Justin about what's going on in St. Louis. We now, as we talk about travel down here, since we are a family show and we are a morning show, so it is now last half hour of today and last half hour of the week, and we get to welcome in some folks who are here for the first time ever. And I don't have like trumpet fanfares or anything. So I might have to fake a trumpet fanfare. For those of you that want to keep an eye on everything going on involving All Caps SC, and we always say All Caps because of those four letters that are in caps as in addition to everything else that's attached to the city in and of itself. So, and it's always the emphasis of St. Louis City SC because it's in caps. You have to sit there and make it different. Ball Watching is where you need to go. And they have graciously, hopefully not gotten in trouble with their real jobs to come and hang out with us for the last half hour. And so we bring in Jake Koenig and Justin Graham from our friends at Ball Watching. And it is, guys, it is great to see you. Thanks for dropping by. And thanks for the education about everything going on about St. Louis City SC.
Great to be here, Don. No, we're pumped to be on the show. And yeah, don't tell anyone. We're skirting work really quickly here and wanted to make sure we prioritize this because there's been a lot going on.
Yes, and that was why I wanted to have the two of you on this morning to let everybody know because of the news that broke earlier this week. Who wants to take the toss and go first when I ask what in the blue hell is going on in St. Louis?
It's madness, right? It's a place I did not foresee us being at this point in the season, especially this early on. But yeah, we're in this now caretaker manager, new phase of the season for us, only a third of the way in after spending months and months between the kind of middle to latter part of last year and the winter looking for our next man to helm us in Olaf Melberg. The club's feeling it. You know, yesterday was the big presser, John, where Lutz and Diego, you know, our president, GM, and sporting director fielded media questions, and you could tell the heat was on. They're definitely feeling it. They got this one wrong. We've totally kind of gotten away from our identity, from ourselves, and in doing so, are an 11-game winless streak in MLS. So all up from here is the hope, but it's been a rough, I'd say, couple of months, Justin. Anything you want to add to that?
No, I mean, it's been extremely difficult. If you remember, John, we started off the season being one of the fifth team ever to not allow a goal in the first four games. Started off hot. Everybody's like, wow, this new formation that Olaf has been bringing with five in the back has been doing so strong. Then we had some injuries. Roman Berkey as goalkeeper. And so we also had some missing of Leuven. And we started this downturn of now 11 winless matches in the MLS. And ultimately, I think heads need to roll at that point, regardless if it's injuries or not, and you got to make a change. And the easiest guy to blame is the coach. However, I know people that's been, I'd say probably 80% of people say he needs to be out. I'm in that group as well. But there are some people that are just saying, hey, it's injury based. The team will bounce back, or hey, it's Lutz's fault. The team isn't strong enough as it is. So it's been some turmoil here in St. Louis.
All right, so I want to go back a couple of steps and a couple of coaching ideas, Jake. Let me ask you, all the way back to the dismissal of Bradley Carnell, who seems to be doing okay for himself in his new gig.
Yeah,
a lot of conventional wisdom was that the trigger was pulled too soon, the panic button was hit, and it was not a 30-second dance party when they hit the button. Was it too quick? What has conventional wisdom there been since Bradley Carnell was dismissed? Was the 30-second dance party button hit too quickly?
If I go back to when Carnell was relieved, you know, July 1 last year, you know, it was a tough streak again for us, but he had built up a lot of that credit in the bank, you know, right with that 2023 magical sort of beginning, at least to the season. I personally was a little bit shocked when they did fire him the way that they did. And I also would say, though, that anyone that of the St. Louis fans that are now saying, hey, look what he's doing now in the East, we never should let it go, are the same people that were calling for his dismissal as well. The grass is always greener. But I think I personally, and Justin, you can at least back me up, corroborate, I was a little bit surprised that they went that direction and removed him. Because, you know, mid-market, St. Louis, you weren't expecting that aggressive of a front office to just, you know, hit the panic button and cut this time short. But he was dealing with injuries. Things weren't going well. They ultimately went a different direction. So that precedent, John, being set, this does not surprise me at all now, because he's doing worse than Carnell was doing, and he has none of that goodwill built up in the bank either. So it's like we still have a lot of the season potentially to salvage or get on the right foot for 2026 already, and you got to make a change if we're going to be in this sort of, you know, issue. But the injuries, again, it's hard to say, you know, could he have done better if things kind of turned around on the rehab table front? But again, it'll probably be a what if that will linger on, because we'll never know.
So, Justin, from all of your travels and conversations and everything, going all the way back to where we are, where is the fan base right now? Is it divided? Is it like Lutz out? In addition, it's like, you know, don't let the door hit you, Lutz, because of everything that's going on. You know, where is the mindset of the all caps fan base right now?
I'm going to say that we're having a little bit of a bounce back. So I will say, I think you needed to make the step one with Olaf there. I don't think that the casual fan is then also calling for the sporting director to be also fired. I would say when it comes to us and you think about what kind of team do we have going forward and are we a potential playoff team with the correct manager or coach, I still think yes. So I'm still on the side of, hey, let's let Lutz kind of work a little bit more. Obviously, he is on a hot seat, though, with this next decision of being the head coach. And if this one doesn't get right, then it's the guy that now, if you look back at it, it's not just the manager that's managing these guys. It's the person that's hiring them. Are they vetting them correctly? Are they fitting the style? Obviously, Olaf did not. Carnell did. And so right now, I don't think the fans are as divided. I would say if you're a deep City fan, you're probably looking at Diego or Lutz. But from the most part, these fans are going to be bouncing back. And John, we play tomorrow at 1:30 p.m., our first ever Saturday home game, 80 degrees and sunny in St. Louis. I promise you it's going to be an absolute sellout. But the one thing I do want to comment back on Carnell real quick, I think the similar situation here wasn't just the results. I think Carnell lost the locker room. And when you lose that, that is something that you cannot bounce back from. And we talked about it with Jake on this one. I don't even think Olaf ever had the locker room. This guy was more standoffish. He came in, he made a new formation. He wasn't playing the consistent starters. I think it was a little bit of a mind games there. So I don't think in the 3 or 4 months he was here, he even had the locker room. But I think that's a similarity between the two firings, is that if you don't have the locker room and the guys backing you, it's a culture-based thing. And I think that's now what we're going to see with Critchley. He has that culture.
So, Jake, it looked like you were not getting like sip number 4 in a Guinness already at 9:30 in the morning off to your right. Was that what I saw? Was that a Guinness over there to your right?
No, it definitely wasn't. No, I'm drinking some iced coffee right now, a little Americano.
Saving those for tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. So, Jake, let me ask about the level of investment when it comes to bringing in players. Obviously, from the beginning, it was looking for the more economical-based folks trying to fit into a system. Is that still the way of the world when it comes to bringing folks in? Is there any thought about widening the pocketbook a little bit to try and bring in players that might have the higher CVs? What does it look like economically when it comes to bringing in talent to try and turn things around with the extraordinary window coming up and the summer window after that?
I don't see a huge shift coming from Lutz and team on our approach, because traditionally, you know, we've recruited heavily overseas, mostly coming from the two Bundesliga. And, you know, Lutz has a lot of connections, got his hands in all those different clubs there. And he's even, you know, had that role in some of those clubs there. So I don't see that changing. We're really reluctant to pay big transfer fees. We're looking for free agents that, you know, we can scrape the bottom of the barrel on, get some good value on. But guys that are producing, like a Hartel, I think was a bigger swing for us. You know, guy was producing at a high level in the two Bundesliga. But I don't think that's necessarily going to change, but if it's going to change, it could kind of start to elevate now, given what Lutz had alluded to in the release they made when they did relieve Olaf Melberg. They said this fan base deserves a better performing team, and we intend to give them one. And that, to me, John, Justin and I talked about this, doesn't just say we're going to go out and get a good coach for you guys now. It says that we're going to reinforce this roster. We might be a little more aggressive here in the market. July market, when that opens up for us, the transfer window is typically when we really are the most active. So a lot of contracts coming to an end this season. We do have options, club control, and a lot of players. He mentioned yesterday he's got everything in the works right now for this season and the remainder and going up into next season. So if there is going to be a time for us to get a little bit out of our comfort zone, I could see now being it. He's mentioned this being one of those windows of us being very competitive, and especially with the age profile of a lot of our players. So if there's going to be a time to splash, I wouldn't be surprised. And I think this team has seen its depth pieces get tested here in this injury crisis. And we've seen the gaps. We've seen the shortcomings. So I'm hoping that, you know, you maybe reinforce in some key areas, but maybe you do take a bigger swing at someone that can add that production, that can take a game and change it on its head.
So then, Justin, as since we are the flagship for Atlanta United 2, you know, Jake mentions bringing folks in. Would that include a Mekhi Joyner, who, you know, I think just scored again, actually, like literally just like 12 seconds ago, he scored again. What about bringing somebody like him up to the first team to help things out offensively?
Yeah, I do think that you're going to see that probably a little bit more during this time period with a guy that Critchley, that was obviously coaching that team up until this week. So he already has the relationships with those guys. He knows them the best. Mekhi Joyner is one that he's gotten a couple first team minutes. Unfortunately, in my opinion, it's not in the position that we need him. It's more of the position that we needed him at that time, as opposed to where he should be playing. Yeah. So, yeah, I would love to see him. I mean, I know it was Leuven was on the field as well, but Leuven only had one assist in the last City 2 game, where he had four goals. Mekhi Joyner did. And so obviously then getting that call up to the national team, I think that's an important step for him. And I really do just want to continue to build on his confidence at this time. Because, I mean, at this point, if you got a guy with that much skill and that much finishing ability, we're tied for last in the MLS with goals for with Austin with 11 through 15 games. What's it going to hurt by bringing a guy like this in? And I think Critchley sees that as well. And I think we're going to see a lot more of attacking presence just based on this presser yesterday.
Jake and Justin from Ball Watching out in St. Louis letting us know about all of the madness that is going on with St. Louis City SC here, wrapping up the week here in the Hour of Chaos. So Jake, let me ask you this. For someone who doesn't know stylistically what Coach Critchley brings to the table, how different is he from an Olaf Melberg? Is it night and day? Is it 180 degrees? How stylistically would he be presenting things as you have Bruce Arena and all of that chaos coming to town?
Yeah, it's tough to even... I'll start with the Olaf part, because I mentioned that yesterday. Just due to, I think, the crisis we were in with needing wins and having your basically your best 11, almost two-thirds of them unavailable for the entirety of his time here. You know, they went on the record yesterday saying that he was uncomfortable, or he knew that he was hamstrung, and what he was putting out in the 11 was just the most pragmatic way he thought we could get points. So it wasn't what he wanted to do, but it was what he felt he had to do. So back to our DNA, though, I think that goes back to a reason why he was relieved and a reason why we want to go with Critchley now is, you know, we want to go back to what made us successful in 2023. There was also a lot of luck and a lot of overperformance as well in that season, so I'll acknowledge that. But you saw the pressing kind of for us go out the window, essentially, in these last probably 12, 13, 14 games. Most of the season, you saw us kind of playing on the back foot, kind of hunkering down into a mid to low block, welcoming pressure, giving up space. And some of that, you know, you can take and say, you know what, we've learned some lessons there, and you can bring some of that into your play. But what we gained, we lost a lot of in terms of our culture and who we are as a team. So I think Critchley at City 2 is playing a lot closer to the blueprint of what made us successful in year one in 2023 with the first team. And that is bringing back that energy drink soccer, but tactfully, right? It's not just a madness of a pitch where everyone is just engaging and pressing at all moments of time. It's when can we pick our moments, and also how can we shore up our defense so we're not just running like chickens with our head cut off back to the goal when we have transition moments, because we've seen that as a hesitation as well. So I think that's what Krejci will bring in, is bring us back to the basics that made us successful and see how we can build on top of that.
Yeah, and pragmatic being a naughty word, and not a positive word, but a naughty word
yeah.
in previous applications. So, Justin, when all things are being equal, tomorrow when you guys are batting leadoff going up against San Jose, and San Jose is probably going to sit there and welcome the pressure and try to turn it into a track meet, when all things are equal and things are going well and St. Louis is 100% healthy and the starting 11 is what it should be, what would folks anticipate, and who would folks gravitate toward in that starting 11 to see the success that you would anticipate from All Caps SC? Who would be those, like, you know, if the three of us were in the booth and we're doing the game open, you always have those players to focus on, the players to watch. Who would be in the ball watching spot shadows, like, okay, and so for St. Louis City SC, it's so and so. All things being equal, who are folks going to gravitate toward when you bat leadoff tomorrow against San Jose?
We've got a spine of four guys that I think we really gravitate toward. I'll start in the back, which has obviously been the most important for us. I know, yes, we're lacking in goals, but you got to start between the sticks with Roman Berkey. This is a guy that has kept us in games when we shouldn't have. He was the one that was a starting goalkeeper that didn't allow a goal in the first four games. He's one of the best in the MLS, in my opinion, still. We're just allowing too many shots on goal for him to be able to save or have something to do with. But he's number one. Then you move forward. I would say right now we're struggling with the center back position, so I'm going to actually skip that, and I'm going to go to right in front of them is Edu Lubin. And I think Edu Lubin has had some personal issues and has not been with the team as much, but this is a guy that is the heart and soul of the team. He's a captain, in my opinion, as far as he's not one that is going to be yelling at the guys as much as Berkey is, but he's going to be the stirring leader and making the correct decisions. He can also spray balls. He's going to keep the ball off the back line, and I think he does that well defensively by getting stuck in, and he's also dangerous on the ball. Moving up in front of him is Hartzell. Jake already mentioned it. Killed it in the second Bundesliga. He was the MVP for them in St. Pauli before coming over. After they were going to get promoted, he decided to leave and then come to the MLS, and everybody's saying, what are you doing, dude? And he's doing a great job for us, and I absolutely love it. And then in front of him, maybe the most, I would say, topsy-turvy between fans is João Klaus. It's a guy, he's our DP. Everybody expects your DP to be scoring 20 plus goals in a season. That's what we should be doing. He's not the type of player for us. He's that hold up player. He makes runs. He takes defenders away. That leaves it open for a toy shirt, a Celio, a Hartel to score the goal. He's getting the assists. And he's one that I think is going to be the most important during this, because he's going to help right the ship. So that is our spine directly up the middle. And those are the four that I would say.
So Jake, you go into this matchup before you guys came on in hour number one, we led off with the juice box breakdown, and we go juice boxes because we want folks to keep as much of everything in this as humanly possible. So we just go into the fridge and talk about Capri Suns and juice boxes instead. All Caps is favored in this one. I guess they're looking at new coach bounce or whatever. And the composite St. Louis is a +106. Batting leadoff tomorrow. San Jose coming to town is a +211. That has changed since we've been on the air, and the draw is a +292. So coming into the show, you're favored, still on the plus side, but you're favored. Does that surprise you at all, considering everything that the club has gone through this season? You're favored hosting San Jose tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that line, obviously Vegas knows what they're doing, and they take into account all the context. Looking at any game where we are favored feels a little bit nuts at this point, besides maybe Galaxy. But with that said, home game, short rest for San Jose, new coach bump for us, coming back to health for a couple of key players that even Justin didn't mention yet. But I think between all of that and – just again, it just there's this wave of the moment a goal drops for us tomorrow, I think we could maybe click into something and find something deep within us that was not there this season and kind of use that as a kind of momentum shifter for us. So I get the line. I'm I'm hesitant on it. I know Justin feels better about it. If I had to put some money on, and Justin already has, the goals in this game are going to flow. I think the goals are going to flow for both teams, frankly. So I think it's going to be a firework fixture.
Okay. So, Justin, as I go back and check in the juice boxes in the O/U portion of the program, 2.5 is a -229. 3.5 is a +110. So it basically flips at 3.25 from minus to plus. 3.5 is a +110. 4 is a +179. 4.5 is a +246. So Jake is saying that you sound confident at perhaps the plus side of everything here.
So I'm more confident, and this is one that I made my bread and butter in the first season. When City's at home, you take City over 1.5 specifically. Okay. So that I got it yesterday at -135. It's up to -160. And that's where I think you live in this. I think this is one where, okay, if we could score 1.5, I feel good. I don't feel confident in this team to win the game, so I don't want to put money on that. And if you look at like the double chance, we're probably like -300, so I don't want to bet on that. And I will say, just from a perspective of looking at home and away, the MLS just always does this. Every game on Saturday and this Sunday, the home team is favored, regardless of who is playing who. LA Galaxy is favored in this game. I know they're playing RSL. They're the same lines with us, +110 and +205. So I think that's the one thing with soccer is that, and also I don't think that these big books care enough or put enough money towards it. And I think that's where we can focus on this quite a bit. But yeah, City over 1.5 tomorrow, absolute lock. I don't care if we can get it -160, just don't do it at like -200. That is going to be a new coach balance. We're not doing the back five. We're doing the back four. These guys are going to be humming. 80 degrees, sunny, Bush lattes flowing in St. Louis. We're scoring at least 2 goals.
Jake, I didn't know what I was getting into when I was dropping the juice boxes with Justin here. Is this something that regularly happens on Ball Watching, where Justin goes into the juice boxes and does the big breakdown?
Frequently. Just a tad. We're sponsored by Underdog. We do more Underdog plays, and we have some contractual agreements that we can't mention specific books, but we can talk about the lines. But yeah, I mean, that's where we land.
Well, and speaking of underdogs, one underdog and has shifted dramatically since we've been on the air this morning. The Union were at a +192 when the show started, going to Dallas. Dallas is still favored at a +146, but Philadelphia now is settling in at about +165 on the straight win right now. So you want underdog, and you got Philly on the road going to Frisco at a +165. I'm sitting there, not that I would ever wager anything out of this. It's going to be the fruit punch Capri Sun, like I was telling folks. Philly to me seems like an underdog that might be featured, if you guys do any content between now and noon on.
For sure. I look at Philly, by the way. I do want to give Carnell his credit, because this reminds me, John, a lot of what happened to us in 2023. Because they've sold off a couple of really good players from Philadelphia in the preseason, in the early part of the season.
Everybody was like, Daniel Gosdag, what are you doing?
Right.
I was like, nah, fam, we're good.
But they're making it work. And I think Carnell does such a good job at that of, getting the most out of the players available to him. And we'll see if it follows a similar trajectory of like the luck runs out at some point. But what they're doing right now is absolutely incredible. And it doesn't matter who they come up against. So I'm liking seeing his success. I'm happy for him.
Okay. So time to cut the blatant promo. So folks can catch up with you guys and Mark and favorite and be a part of your discussions as well. So who wants to cut what part of the promo when it comes to everything that has to do with Ball Watching?
I'm happy to. Yeah. So yeah, thanks for having us again, John. But yeah, Jake and Justin here, we do Ball Watching. We do shows at least once a week, covering the preview for the game coming up and the recap of the game before. We also do a ton of different interviews, bringing guests from around St. Louis with different kind of angles, coaches, former players, some more data analytics, as well as, talking to some other athletes in and around St. Louis as well. So that is the show for us, and we love doing it. St. Louis is passionate about soccer. People love to come in and, honestly vent their feelings a lot recently here, John, but hopefully celebrate some good points, some good W's. That's what the show's all about. I'm hoping to get back to more of that.
No doubt about it. And by the way, clicking on Series 6, I know I'm going to the poorhouse, especially when it comes to the Battlehawks gear, because we all know that Caw is the law. And anytime that I can drop a Slobo Ilievsky reference in a segment, I'm going to do it involving the St. Louis Steamers. Guys,
Cannot thank you guys enough for hopping on short notice and breaking everything down with all of the head scratching that the rest of us are doing when it comes to everything in St. Louis. Do you guys need notes for your real jobs here on a Friday morning? Are you?
I might need one. I'll shoot you a DM, John. I'm currently in one of our offices right now. This is I'm not an Eagles fan. This is
it's like just
this is one of our patient rooms. So yeah, I was like, hey, I got to take a call.
Put the blue bot, you know, put the like the blue dot over over your left shoulder. Yes, exactly. So gentlemen, like I always tell all of our guests, you got the garage door opener. You got the keys to the kingdom. You know they're under the mat. So if there's anything going on, you know, you can just reach out at any time and we'll chew the fat and we'll let everybody else know what's going on up there with Mekhi Joyner, the St. Louis Steamers, the Battle Hawks, and everything else going on in between. Ball watching, mandatory watching and listening and all of the things. Jake and Justin, thanks a lot, guys, for wrapping up the week for us. Be safe and enjoy your noon kick tomorrow. We'll be watching with everybody else.
Thanks, John. Take care.
Thanks, John.
As always, great to catch up with our friends up there as well. And it is ball watching. For those of you that are not familiar with their work, it is Ball Watching, a St. Louis City SC podcast. You can catch them at Ball Watching STL on X. And you can go into their link tree and you can follow along with them on their other social media. They do roll their content over into your favorite podcatchers as well as on their YouTube channel and on Facebook. So Ball Watching at Ball Watching STL on everything St. Louis City SC. And it was a big week for them as they get to be the first match of the weekend as they entertain San Jose. That is just a small look of everything that we do every single week at the SDH Network on SDH AM. Whether it is contributing, whether it's Jason Longshore and Madison Cruz at practice, whether it is Nick Alifi and Jarrett Smith drifting into the show and helping us out and break everything down when it comes to Atlanta United, everybody on the SDH family, and all of our pundits and our experts that drop by every single week. So that's just a small sample of what we do at SDH AM. Thanks for dropping by and going through the week that was with us. Enjoy your weekend. Play it safe. We'll be back with you again on Monday morning, 9:05 Eastern Time, across the SDH Network on SDH's YouTube channel, the X 280-character app, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/soccer. So for everybody at SDH, play it safe. Everybody, mucha plata, y'all. We'll catch up with you next week.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.